Good to see everybody this morning, and go ahead and open up to Jeremiah chapter number 36. Jeremiah chapter number 36, just as a reminder, maybe if you haven't been here or this, your first week here, this is a special series we're doing all throughout our whole Sunday school program on the Bible, the importance of the Bible, back to the Bible it's called. And as a special addition to our classes, Mrs. Linda McKeever, she teaches our 5th and 6th grade Sunday school class. She is putting together, Pastor asked her to work on this, Sunday school times for every week. So it's like a highlight paper of different things and having to do with Sunday school or having to do with the Bible. And there's a copy enough for everybody, and it's on the right-hand side on the little table there as you exit. So I hope that you will take a look at that. And next week, be prepared to get your thinking caps on a little bit. I think we're gonna introduce our Sunday school's doing a campaign starting next week. And in younger classes, a lot of that means there's some competitions and some things taking place, but it's centered around scripture memorization. Now, how many of you in here think you can memorize a verse of scripture every now and then? You think you can do that? I think we can all do that. So I'm still working on exactly how we're gonna do it, but what I think I'm gonna do is take the memory verses that the teen class, Pastor Brown has put this together, that our teens are going to be working on, and we're gonna challenge each other in here to see if we can learn the same verses that the teens are learning. That'll do a couple of things. One, it's good for us to memorize scripture, but two, it also connects us a little bit with what it is, and you might along the way be able to see a teen and go, hey, have you learned the verse this week? I know the verse this week, and kind of challenge them along with it. So we'll talk to you a little bit more about that next week. But Jeremiah, now don't make that a deterrent. Don't go, oh no, he's going to give us work to do, so I'm not coming back next week. Don't do that. We want you to be here, and I think you can do it. But Jeremiah chapter number 36. The theme this week is this: the Bible should be respected. And there is a very interesting story that happens in Jeremiah 36. It's one that you might be familiar with, but also is one that you might not have thought about recently. And so I'll kind of go over what is happening here in a little bit of detail to make sure that we get what's happening. So in this story, of course, God is working through the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah, at this point, has already delivered several messages to the nation that are strong messages about God's judgment and about God's call upon them to repent. And so we get to Jeremiah chapter 36, and God gives Jeremiah a very specific set of instructions. Look at verse number 2, and we see what the instructions were. He says, "Take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day." So God told Jeremiah, he said, you take a roll of a book. I imagine something like a scroll that we would think more of like a scroll. Take that, and I want you to write down all the words that I have spoken. So the messages that I have given you to deliver against the nation of Israel, I want you to, and Judah and the surrounding nations, I want you to write them down. I want to have a permanent record of it for the people to see and the people to read. So Jeremiah gets to work doing what God told him to do, and he uses a faithful man by the name of Baruch to copy down these words. Look at verse number 4. "Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book." And so Jeremiah got this very faithful man, and we're going to see evidence of his faithfulness throughout this chapter here. And his job was to sit down and was to write out what Jeremiah gave him as God had given it to Jeremiah. That's by itself sounds like a barrel of fun, doesn't it? I mean, just doing that. We have from time to time, Pastor Townsley has taken things that he's preached and such and had them transcribed for articles or maybe a book or something. And I've been in the office when secretaries are listening on a recording to what he is saying and actually getting it and typing it in, and they're typing and they're listening and they're hitting rewind, and they got, you know, it's quite a process, in other words. So there was a process here that this man committed himself to, and he helped Jeremiah do what God had given him to do. Then, if that wasn't enough of the job, so Baruch was supposed to write down the words, and then he got a different level of instructions. Now, you can imagine, all right, Baruch, write down these words, and it's just him and Jeremiah. That's kind of the scene you get. Now, okay, there's another step to this. Look at verse number 8. It says, "And Baruch the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house." Now, let's give you a little bit of a pop quiz here this morning in Sunday school. I emphasize the school part when I talk about a quiz here. So, the Lord's house at that point, what is that? What are they talking about there in Jeremiah about go read it in the Lord's house? What would that mean?
The temple.
So we're talking about the temple, which would be destroyed not too much longer after this. We're talking about the temple, where it was still the center point for the nation of Israel, and they're congregating together. Now there's a reason we've done it in this order, but next week's lesson, in many ways, is actually the prequel to this week's lesson, where the kings here, his father Josiah, does a lot of work to get the temple back to where it needs to be. They restored a lot of the temple because Josiah was a man that tried to do right before the Lord. We'll get into that next week. But Baruch was supposed to take what he had written down. He was to now go in the temple and read these words. And they were not all, if you've read the first part of Jeremiah, you know that they were not all very comfortable words. They were not words that people looking for a teacher to tickle their ears would look for. The message was, you are sinning against God, and there is going to be judgment from God because of your sin. And this is why I say Baruch was a faithful man, because he went and did what Jeremiah told him to do. And so he goes and he reads, and while he is reading, a scribe's son by the name of Micaiah heard the words, and this young man, or this man, was important enough to get the attention of the king's assistants and high government officials. So let's look on down in verse number 10. The Bible says, "Then read Baruch in the book of the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord, in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe, and the higher court at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the ears of the people. When Micaiah, the son of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, had heard of the book of all the words of the Lord, then he went down into the king's house, into the scribe's chamber, and lo, all the princes sat there, even Elishama the scribe, and Deliah the son of Shemaiah, and Elnathan the son of Achbor, and Gemariah the son of Shaphan, and Zedekiah the son of Hananiah, and all the princes." So this man, he hears it, and there's something about it that hits his heart, I believe, that provokes him to go, wait a second, this is important. This needs to be heard. And he had the clout, he had the connections to be able to go to the people that were nearest the king and say, hey, there is something that you need to hear. He was able to take what was delivered there in the temple and start to filter it up the chain of command, if you will, towards the king. It would be like if a government official maybe were here today for our Sunday morning service, and Pastor Townsley preached a message that really resonated with that individual, and they start calling cabinet members of the president or other government officials that have access to the president and say, hey, listen, there's something that the president needs to hear. We need to get this to him. And he started that cycle. He started that chain of events. Now, I'll give you a little bit of opinion here. Often we say that in Jeremiah, you might hear somebody say, well, there's Jeremiah preached and there's no record of any conversion or positive response to his message. I don't think that's so. I think that there are individuals. Now, the nation didn't respond, but I think there are individuals that did respond. You can look and find some. I think Baruch maybe be, you know, you could classify as one of them. That, and perhaps even here, the word of God being preached had an effect on this Micaiah's heart even. I mean, if the word of God is presented, this is a little side note here, but when the word of God is presented, it will provoke a reaction from those that hear it, always. And it hit him in a particular way, and he goes and he takes it up the chain of command. Eventually, the king would hear it. The king at this time, his name was Jehoiakim. He was the son of Josiah. So his father, Josiah, had heard the word of God and believed it. Again, we're going to get into our chorus. See how much you've been paying attention in church. What's our chorus? What's our chorus of the month here that we sing at the end of the services? Do you remember what it is? It's on the back of your bulletin if you got it. Brother Harvey Brooks is back there waving his Bible around. It's I found the book. That's the chorus. I found the book. Now, that chorus was written by a man. He was a professor at a college I attended, but it was written by him and from a message that he had preached out of the life of Jehoiakim's father, Josiah. We're going to, again, talk more about that next week, Lord willing. But God used his father, Jehoiakim, who was king here in Jeremiah chapter 36, his father, Josiah, God would use him to bring revival to the nation. Jehoiakim, though, would prove that he had no respect for God's word. And here is what would happen. Look at verse 21. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll. So we're in Jeremiah 36, 21, to fetch the roll. And he took it out of Elishama, the scribe's chamber, and Jehudi read it in the ears of the king, and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. So Micaiah's work had gotten this writing, which was the word of God, in front of the king. And the king is sitting there listening to it with his advisors, his princes. He's, of course, the one in charge, but the representatives of the nation's head were right there in that room with the king square front and center. And when he hears it read, he didn't even hear all of it read. He heard just a little bit of it read. The Bible, verse 23 said, three or four leaves. He is so enraged by it. I think that's the only way you can characterize his response. If he was just, you know, apathetic about it, why not just listen to it and lay it on the shelf and move on? But he was so enraged by it, he doesn't even let them finish the reading. He takes it from them. He takes a penknife, he cuts it up, and to further emphasize his disdain for the action, he throws it in the fire for it to be burned. What a lack of respect for what God had to say for him. Now, to give you what happens in the rest of the story, remember this, God is not mocked, okay? And that's going to play out in the life of Jehoiakim, but it's also going to play out in how things happen. Look at verse 27. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after that the king had burned the roll, and the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again another roll, and write in it all the former words which were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, hath burned. So God said, all right, he burned it. All right, Jeremiah, no problem. Take another roll and write them down again. I've got them recorded. You know what the Bible says? His word settled in heaven, and forever it is settled in heaven. And you know what? I believe firmly that a God who is powerful enough to inspire the writing of his word is also powerful enough to enact the preservation of his word here on this earth. That's, man has tried to destroy it over and over and over many times before, and they have done the equivalent to cutting it up with a penknife and throwing it in the fire, but God's not going to be outdone in this. His word is forever settled. And so we have it, and we are able to read it with confidence and understand that what we read is what God has for us. And so this is what takes place. Now, there's some applications, some things right out of this story I want to talk about. Now, in this class, knowing that we're talking to, an older group like adults, there's probably a certain level of care and concern that we understand about taking care of the Bible, I would hope. I hope that in this room, when you leave church this morning, you don't take your Bible and just throw it on the floorboard of your car and say, all right, it'll be there sliding around with all the empty plastic bottles that I need to take and recycle. And, I hope that we understand that we should treat it in a physical way, in a respectful manner. I tried to encourage some of our younger teachers to go this route. I think it's important to teach little kids how to treat the Bible with respect, not to hit each other with it over the head like a club, and things like that. Things that I don't foresee as being major issues in this class. Even though Brother Harvey Brooks was waving it around a minute ago, I was afraid for Brother Muscatello sitting behind him. I didn't know what he was going to do, but he was very docile with it. So that was good. But we do need to in a physical way, I believe, treat it respectfully. I think I even mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. For me, I have a Bible app on my phone, and I like that. I mean, there's a lot of helpful things that can provide, but I also like to make sure I carry a Bible separate from that. I mean, that's a good thing to have when I realize, oh, wait a second, I don't have my Bible right with me. That had happened Friday. I was in a chapel and I needed to read a scripture, and I realized where I was at, I just didn't have my Bible right with me. It was an odd set of circumstances, and so I was able to do that. But like, when I come to church, I like to make sure I bring the copy of the scriptures. Now, in my role, and this is maybe meddling a little bit, but as someone who teaches young people and teaches, speaks and preaches and stuff, I like to have a physical copy of the Word of God present and open when I do so, because I think it shows that this is separate, this is different, this is distinct. This is not like my Chick-fil-A app. This is not like my ESPN app that might be on my, it's different than that, and it's special, and we need to make sure that we treat it as such. So we need to make sure that we respect the Bible, but there's some other lessons about respecting God's word that I think are as pertinent or important, or maybe more so to this group, right from this, that we can take and glean. First of all, we should respect the Bible because every word is God's word. We should respect the Bible because every word is God's word. Did you notice what he said, the command that he was given in verse number 2? He said, take thee a roll of a book and write therein all the words. He didn't just say, write down the general idea of what I told you. He didn't just say, convey the idea that I communicated to you. What did he say? It was very specific. And when you look at the repeating and the reference to this, it's always the same in this passage. He said, I want you to go and I want you to write therein all the words that I've spoken. Jeremiah, don't miss one. And I think God in his miracle of inspiration had a way to make sure 100% that Jeremiah got down every word that God intended for him to get down, every word that he had spoken to him. That means that, we should respect it. Jehoiakim should have respected it because he cut it off short, didn't he? We should respect it because every single word is a word that was
given by God. We're interested. When God gave his word, he gave all the words of the Bible, not just a concept, not just an idea, but he gave the words. There is not even one part of the Bible that is not important. Every word is from God. You know, this has been said, and I think that, you know, sometimes when there are general statements, they might not cover, you know, they might not be specific enough, but they still communicate the same truth. I think this general statement does help us. You know, all the Bible might not be written to me, but all the Bible is written for me. So we're in 2021. You know, we're not under the law. We're not under, you know, so what in the world do I need to learn to worry about reading Leviticus and, you know, reading? Listen, it's a word that God gave. It's important for us. It's important to us. The king here, as we have already highlighted, and he took a penknife to the scroll, and then he burned it. Bible makes it clear that he had only heard 3 or 4 pages of it. He did not respect it because it did not say what he wanted it to say. Right. Don't read the Bible looking for things that you want it to say. Don't read the Bible looking for it to say what you want it to say. We need to read the Bible and in turn let the Bible read us and let the Bible tell us what we need to hear, not us look for what we want to hear out of the Word of God. And you know what the Bible says in a very New Testament passage? I mean, when Paul wrote to Timothy, that's about as New Testament as you can get. And you know what Paul told Timothy? He said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's all the words. And he goes, so he's talking about all Scripture, how it came by inspiration of God. And he goes on to say, and is profitable. I mean, that's a very New Testament guy, Paul, talking to a very New Testament guy, Timothy, and he's telling him, Timothy, listen, everything that God gave in the Scripture is important, and you need to respect it as such. You need to understand it as such. There is I don't expect the younger classes to be talking about this, but there is a move today going on in certain, in the very broad sense, evangelical circles that act like things like the Old Testament are completely irrelevant to us today. It comes from a misunderstanding from the concept of we're not under the law but under grace. I believe that as firmly as I believe anything. Why? Because God said it in his word that we're not under the law but under grace. But you need to understand what that means. That doesn't mean that what is talked about in the law is completely irrelevant to it. There's a lot we learn from God by reading his law as he gave it to the nation of Israel. I mean, for example, now, I don't know what your lunch plans are today, but some of you might plan on eating some pork for lunch, right? I mean, it might be a thing you might do. Some of you might plan on eating some shrimp for lunch, right? And we say glory, hallelujah for, I mean, some of you might combine it. You might eat bacon-wrapped shrimp. How about that? I mean, and you'll do it with full calmness and full assurance, a full assurance in your heart, and knowing that you might even be drawing closer to the Lord in some way while you eat that. Maybe not, but you'll do so without any sort of compunction, any sort of, well, I'm breaking God's law here. Why? Because God made it very clear that we're not under the law in that way, and also that he spoke to Peter talking about what I've cleansed, call not thou unclean, and you know, we're familiar enough with that. But you know, when we read that about those dietary laws in the Old Testament and you really understand why God did them, there's a great lesson for us. Do you know why he gave those laws to the nation of Israel? And it's not because of health reasons. Now, we might look at it and say, you know, if we ate that way, it'd be a little healthier. I don't know. That might be the case, but God never once said in his word that if you do this, it's to help your arteries not clog and those things like that. God never said that. But you know why God gave those things? He makes it clear. He gave them for this reason. He wanted to make the nation of Israel so distinct from the world, from the nations around them, that he wanted to make it clear that you are different from those people that are around you. You know what? I might not be under the dietary law there, but that causes me to think, you know what? God wants his people to be different from the world around them. He says, even in the New Testament, be ye holy for I am holy. That's the same kind of concept that we're talking about. And so that's just a small example. What I'm saying is that command for me in specific, like it should dictate what I have for lunch today. No, very clearly not. But at the same time, there is a great truth in there that can help me understand what my God, my Heavenly Father, is looking for in his people.
Right.
You see, all of God's word should be respected.
That's right.
We shouldn't pick and choose. The internet has caused us to become so pinpoint focused on things. Some folks, even in very good intentions, very, very well intentioned, not trying to drive, you know, any sort of theological debates or whatever, they've reduced the Bible down to, unintentionally maybe even, they've reduced the Bible down to just a series of inspirational quotes. You know, there's a verse of the day that you can look at, you know, as a meme on the internet. It might have a nice, you know, sunny flowered field there, you know, and imposed on this nice picture with, you know, somebody staring up like this at the sky, imposed on this is a verse of scripture. That was a good verse of scripture. I mean, not, but if we're not careful, we'll start to kind of piecemeal the Bible together in that way to say, oh, you know, that's what it's about. It's about just a bunch of inspirational quotes that I'm looking for along the way. No, every word of God is important. And every word of God should be respected. I don't want anybody to raise your hand here because I'm certainly not trying to put anybody on the spot. But I wonder, even in this room, how many there are that have read the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. So, well, maybe I've never done that before. Okay, why don't you set out on a path to do so? Why don't you, you know, set out on a journey and say, you know what, with God's help, I'm going to do that. And do it in a way. I'm not one who's going to stand here and tell you, you know, how much you should read a day. The Bible doesn't say how much you should read a day. And people have different lives and things like that. I can tell you this, approximately 3 chapters a day can get you through it in about a year. And, you know, we're talking in round numbers here. You know, why don't you start? And I would encourage you, if you've never done it before, if you've never read all the Bible, start in Genesis and move straight through it to Revelation. And that can help you. Why, you know, you say, well, but yeah, but I have a hard time, you know, hard connecting with some of it. Enter into it each day praying that God will speak to your heart through it. I just happen to be reading right through some things in the Old Testament right now. And it's amazing. I mean, if you were to just paint a picture of cultures, you know, the culture of the nation of Israel versus our culture, like in customs and things like that, it's completely different. But it is amazing how much that I read and dig in there, you know, just reading through it, and you know, something just kind of slaps you in the face. And I mean that in like a, wow, look at this, pay attention here. Look at what this has to say. See, that's what happens when we treat all God's words, plural, as important and as respect. And, you know, we would never, and this, I'm convinced in this group here, we would never take a knife and shred it up and throw it in the fire. And we would, we probably in this group here have instinctual almost reaction if we see a Bible like laying on the floor or in some way. We know that, but you know what? If we selectively ignore portions of Scripture, it's almost as if we're kind of cutting some of it out and saying, no, I don't think this is important. I don't think this is for me. We should respect the Bible because every word is God's word. I am merely pulling the phone out because I have no concept of what time it is. Okay, there we go. There's not a clock in here, so I apologize for that. Number two, we should respect the Bible like those before us have respected the Bible. Jehoiakim, the shame of this is, when you understand anything about his family, he had a history in his family of people that respected God's word. His dad, Josiah, is called one that did right in the sight of the Lord, just like David, his father. That's the level of believer, I guess you should say, that Josiah was, that he took the things of the Lord seriously. Jehoiakim had a great heritage. God had brought revival under the reign of Josiah because of his respect for God's word. And when the law was found under Josiah's reign and he repaired the temple, he listened to what God had to say and repented. Next week we look at that. You'll see the difference between Josiah's response and Jehoiakim's response. But after Josiah died, the nation turned away from God very quickly. In Jeremiah 36, what we see is a nation that's already under the judgment of God at this point. The judgment was already happening. Jehoiakim should have learned from his father and shown some respect for God's word. Now think about us as Christians. You know, we have a heritage of people before us who respected God's word. They held it in high esteem. Beware of any Christian movement that de-emphasizes in any way the importance of the word of God and the importance of listening to and respecting the word of God. You know, we have a lot of Bibles now because of the printing press, don't we? I mean, the Bible, I've got notes and things. This is a fairly newer Bible than the last few years, but still, you know, starting to pick up the notes and things that you get in there. You know, if a fire happened and this copy of the scriptures was lost, I would definitely hate it because of that. I would hate it because it's attached to my ordination, and you know, there's some very great memories for me around all of that, and I would hate it for those reasons. But let's be honest, I could replace the copy itself pretty quickly and fairly economically. But before the printing press, you know, all scriptures were hand copied. Could you imagine how precious a hand-copied book of the Bible would have been to a believer who had no other Bible? As a matter of fact, the reason that we have a Bible today is because believers before us respected it so much that they devoted time to copying and to maintaining and to taking care of the Word of God. And God use people like that to preserve his word, you know, through the ages. That's the heritage that we have that got us here. You know, listen, I have the utmost respect for people that have done right and but you know why we're here? We're here because of the word of God, plain and simple. Not because of personalities, but because the power of the word of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit at work in the lives of believers. We need to respect it as such. And now there's another generation behind us, and getting a little ahead of myself, but there's another generation behind us that will only learn to respect God's word as we show them how to respect God's word. You know, there's a lot of things that, you know, we do in a church like this that some people look at and go, well, you know, why do you do that? You know, like, Pastor Boy, why do you wear a coat and tie while you preach? You know, why do you do that? Is that you know, really necessary? Well, in the sense of, will I go to hell if I don't? You know, no, it's not. I mean, it's not, has nothing to do with my salvation or anyone else's salvation, and you know, as far as that goes. But you know what? It's a small piece in showing, hey, we take seriously what God says in his word. And I'll tell you, I know this is being recorded, I'm not going to be more specific, but I have dealt with young people, like next generation, that have been in churches and come from churches that take a very casual approach to the Word of God, and maybe even sincerely so. I'm not questioning motives. I'm not, you know, maybe people think this is what, but they take a very casual approach to the Word of God and how they carry themselves around the Word of God. And I can tell you from first-hand experience that those young people have very little respect for the Word of God. It's treated as just a secondary thing or a tertiary thing. It's oh yeah, Jesus, you know, we love Jesus, but to really take seriously what God has to say in His Word is very hard for them to do. Why? Because what they've seen before them is a very casual and lax attitude towards what God says in His Word. All right. I got to hurry here. We should respect the Word of God, but we should respect the Bible because every word is God's Word. We should respect the Bible like those who have respected it before us. Amen. And then thirdly, we should respect the Bible because others are watching us. I got a little ahead of myself, but notice what happens when Jehoiakim rips this thing up. He rips the scroll up and throws it in the fire. It says, I'm trying to catch it here. I should probably just read the whole thing to make it quicker. But there were a group of people with him. Verse 24, yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king, nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Amen. It wasn't just Jehoiakim sitting here. There was other people sitting there with him. And you know what? They reacted towards the Word of God just like Jehoiakim reacted towards the Word of God. What if he had done what his father had done, Josiah? The Bible says Josiah rent his garments and he repented. You know what? I think the people around him would have looked and go, oh, wait a second, there's something different about what's going on here. We need to pay attention. We need to heed. You know, we should respect the Word of God because others are watching us. Mom and dad, you know, your children at home know whether or not you respect the Word of God. You know, church member, our teens, our young people, they know whether or not you respect the Word of God, whether you have a respect to the Word of God. Parents must teach their children how to respect the Bible. And that might even, in some of those basic lessons, like I talked about earlier, about don't hit your brother and sister with it. You know, it's not a weapon. You know, go hit them with a stick, not with the Bible. No, I'm just kidding. You know, this is what you hit your brother and sister with. No, don't do that. All right? But teaching them, you know, it's not a baseball bat. You know, hey, yeah. Oh, yeah, look, you got that rubber bouncy ball in Sunday school here. I bet I can hit it over the neighbor's fence. Well, wait a second. That's the Bible. We don't do that with the Bible. We need to actively do so. Teens become a very powerful influence on those around them when they respect the Bible. You know, Pastor Townsley talks about the one that was carrying his Bible to school, like a public school, carrying it around. He's getting bullied by guys and you know, big tough guys, and finally one day he turned around and showed it to him and says, if you think it's so easy, you carry it around. Right. You know, that the Word of God's going to elicit a response from people, be it positive or negative. It will elicit a response to it. But we need to stay strong in our respect for God's Word. Strong and mature Christians help others by their respect for their Bible. Remember, you may not be a king, but there is always somebody watching you. It might be a child in your home, might be a grandchild. It might be a teen from our youth group. It might be somebody, you know, that looks down the pew that sits across from you, like a new Christian or a new believer. But there is somebody who's watching you. You know what they need to see when they see us? They need to see someone who respects God's Word. Next week, Lord willing, as a part of our revival, the lessons on the Word of God brings revival. And we'll look at Josiah, Jehoiakim's dad. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for...